This episode of AHLA Speaking of Health Law is brought to you by AHLA members and donors like you. For more information, visit AmericanHealthLaw.org.
Hi, I'm Norm Tabler with this month's edition of The Lighter Side of Health Law. Robot law firm defeats human firm. Chalk one up for artificial intelligence, AI. In Illinois, a robot law firm has defeated the human kind of firm in court. A small law firm of the human variety sued the AI firm Do Not Pay, all one word, claiming the AI firm was practicing law without a license and, more importantly, was engaged in unfair competition, i.e., taking clients away from the plaintiff human firm. The robot firm won hands down, with the judge ruling that the human firm had failed to show that it had lost any clients at all to the AI firm. Good news, bad news. Well, the end of the patent infringement trial brought good news and bad news for plaintiff Rex Medical against defendant Intuit Surgical. The good news? The jury found that Intuitive had, in fact, infringed on Rex Medical's patent. Even better, the jury pegged the damages at a cool $10 million. Now the bad news. Rex's evidence on damages was based entirely on a licensing agreement covering 7 patents, not just the one Intuitive had infringed. So, the judge ruled, the evidence was no good. Well, Rex gulped, can we have a second trial on damages? No can do, the judge responded, you've had your one bite at the apple. What's a fair figure for damages in a case like this? $1, the judge ruled. Case closed. The case is Rex Medical versus Intuitive Surgical, District of Delaware. Who says the law is an ass? Well, actually, Charles Dickens put those words in the mouth of Mr. Bumble in Oliver Twist, and ever since, non-lawyers have been taunting lawyers with them. But here's a case that puts the lie to those words, showing how practical and commonsensical the law really can be. According to the American Bar Association Journal, the Massachusetts Supreme Court has ruled in Rabinowitz v. Schenkman, quote, a husband does not have to make continued payments to his ex-wife under a separation agreement after she tries to kill him with a hatchet. And ask my eye. Harvard and the Teapot. This is the latest chapter in the never-ending story of Harvard's attempt to get insurance coverage for the attorney's fees in its famous affirmative action admissions case, fees that amount to some $27.5 million. Where does the teapot come in, you're asking? Well, remember back in first semester civil procedure when you learned that the English common law allowed inconsistent pleading. The example is the lawsuit alleging that the defendant borrowed a teapot and returned it broken. The defendant was allowed to plead something along the following lines. A. I never borrowed your damn teapot. B. The teapot was broken when I borrowed it. C. Your teapot was in perfect condition when I returned it. Well, the insurer says Harvard failed to notify it of the lawsuit within the required time frame. So far, Harvard has pleaded A. Hey, we gave you informal notice. B. Even if we didn't give you notice, which we did, you knew all about the case. Everybody did. C. The policy says the case has to be reported to you, not that we have to do the reporting. Reporters reported it to you in the news, so it was reported to you. So far, none of that has worked. So they have a new position and a new lawsuit against Marsh, their broker. The lawsuit says, hey, you were supposed to give the insurer notice of the lawsuit and you didn't. Our poor insurer had no notice whatever and it's all your fault. You owe us $27.5 million. The new case is Harvard versus Marsh USA, Massachusetts Superior Court. The illegal flower arrangement. Well, out in Bannock County, Idaho, mortician Lance Peck is in trouble over a flower arrangement in his funeral home. Law enforcement says the flower arrangement is illegal. His insurance company says it's not only illegal but criminal, and since it's criminal, they're not going to cover his liability. How can a flower arrangement at a funeral home be illegal and criminal, you're wondering? The answer is in the spelling. The explanation is that it's flower, F-L-O-U-R, not F-L-O-W-E-R. And the arrangement is that after cremation, Lance presents the family with an urn full of flour, F-L-O-U-R, along with some pepper instead of ashes. You can't make this stuff up. The case is Federated Mutual versus Downard Funeral Home, District of Idaho. AI continues to tempt lawyers. Well, for lawyers, artificial intelligence seems to be the forbidden fruit of the 21st century. They continue to use it even though it continues to bite them. Recently, 2 more young lawyers relied on AI with the result that they were cast out of Eden. I mean out of their law firms. 29-year-old Zach Krabel relied on AI to write a motion and, surprise, AI invented the cases it cited. Zach has been referred to the disciplinary authorities and fired from his firm. Meanwhile, an associate with the Dennis Block firm has resigned after using AI for a brief in an eviction case, with the usual citation of non-existent cases. The judge fined her $999, and the firm forced her to resign. When will they ever learn? Life imitates art. If you don't believe that life imitates art, take a look at the November 9 order of the Iowa Supreme Court reprimanding lawyer Tom Rodriguez. It turns out that Tom has perhaps unknowingly been reenacting the role of the law clerk in Herman Melville's short story, Bartleby the Scrivener, the tale of a law clerk, Bartleby, who simply refuses to perform even the simplest tasks assigned to him. Bartleby's invariable response when asked why he refuses, "I would prefer not to." Now, back to Iowa. The court reprimanded Tom because time after time, he simply failed to show up for hearings, leaving both his clients and the courts in a lurch. Tom's explanation to the disciplinary board was pure Bartleby. Quote, "I had other stuff to worry about." Past the burrito bowl. In Parma, Ohio, Rosemary Haney is facing jail time for passing a burrito bowl. Well, she didn't just pass it, she threw it at a Chipotle server. Why? Because, she says, it was disgusting and it wasn't what I wanted. Actually, once you say it was disgusting, you don't need to go on to say it wasn't what you wanted, but I digress. Rosemary was charged with assaulting the server she threw it at. She pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 6 months in prison with 3 months suspended. And she can trim time served down to 1 month if she works in a fast food restaurant for at least 2 months. Let's hope the Chipotle server's friends don't find Rosemary at work and use her for fast food target practice. Buyer's remorse. Here's a case of buyer's remorse if I ever heard one. You might call it triple remorse. The buyer is Charismatic Brands, manufacturer of hospital scrubs. Charismatic sued rival scrubs maker Figs, and at the end of the long-running litigation, Charismatic lost the case and lost its shirt. Or should I say its top? Why did it lose its top? Because its legal bill was $31 million. What's the remorse for? Not just for filing suit, but because it opted for paying a flat fee rather than hourly billing to its lawyers. Charismatic now says the law firm fooled it into thinking that the flat fee would be less than hourly billing. But now in hindsight, Charismatic thinks that was a big fat lie. Or should I say a big flat lie? So, Charismatic took the matter to arbitration. Lo and behold, the arbitrator sided with the law firm. More buyer's remorse. Charismatic regretted ever taking it to arbitration and is now sued in state court. What'll you bet Charismatic will regret filing suit? The case is Charismatic versus Michaelman, Superior Court, Los Angeles County. Can you speak chicken? Well, you have to hand it to Mattel for effort. They created a Barbie-type doll in the likeness of Wilma Mankiller, first woman to become chief of the Cherokee Nation. It's part of Mattel's Inspiring Women series. So far, so good. But Cherokee spokespeople have a nit to pick with the packaging. They swear that in the Cherokee language, instead of Cherokee Nation, the label says Chicken Nation. Complaint Department. In defense of cursive. My complaint today is about the unrelenting attack on cursive writing. You know, the traditional handwriting where the letters in a word are all connected to one another, the way we write our signatures. Cursive has been under attack since at least the start of this century. Did you know it's no longer part of the Common Core state standards for K-12 schools? Anti-cursive spokespeople argue, hey, everything is typed now on a computer or a smartphone. There's no need to force kids to learn the old-fashioned way their grandparents wrote. Well, I disagree. Everybody I know, at some time or other, has to jot a quick note with pen or pencil and paper because they're closer and handier than a computer or smartphone. And you can't tell me that printing is as fast as cursive. Here's another example. This morning, a nice young man at the service station checked my air pressure in my tires. When he was done, I said, "Thank you, Steve." If I couldn't read cursive, I couldn't have said that. You know why? Because his name was sewn on over his left front pocket, and it was in cursive, the way it always is, because sewing machines love cursive and hate printing. Or how about birthday cakes? You can't tell me my baker doesn't prefer writing Happy Birthday Norm in cursive, so he doesn't have to stop squeezing the frosting tube at the end of every letter and probably wipe off the tip, too. If you have a complaint, send it to me. You can even write me a note in cursive. Well, that's it for this month's edition. I hope you liked it. I'll be back next month with another edition of The Lighter Side of Health Law.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to AHLA Speaking of Health Law wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about AHLA and the educational resources available to the health law community, visit AmericanHealthLaw.org.